Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
So you probably heard the news. The United Kingdom, the UK, became the first Western country to officially approve a COVID-19 vaccine for distribution. They're going to be getting it out next week. We're not far behind, it looks like, at least, looking increasingly likely that the FDA will issue emergency use authorization of both Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines after meetings that are scheduled for December 10th and 17th. Officials say they're ready to start vaccinating healthcare workers within a day or two of the FDA's official nod. Let's talk to Dr. Champas about this. Dr. George Champas is emergency medicine specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Dr. Champas, thanks for calling in today. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Anna.
So this, you know, it's here. It feels like it's real and it's going to happen. Anything that might hold this up, do you think by the end of the year we should expect to see these at least starting to be distributed to healthcare workers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've spoken, the two of us, quite a bit with regards to this topic, and finally hearing that the vaccine is ready and available and just waiting for clearance, I think is providing a tremendous amount of hope. And, you know, for first responders, essential workers across all industries, I think everyone is extremely optimistic. I think the question now is the distribution of it and being able to get it to those who need it first.
And let's talk about that, because the governor has given a news conference. We've seen a lot of health officials step up to the mic, because the big question is, okay, let's listen to the CDC and their guidance, and then let's decide how we're going to do this here. I'm hearing about 400,000 may get here by the end of the year. The governor is saying those vaccines, because of limited numbers, will go almost exclusively to healthcare workers. And if there are enough left over, then next in line will be long-term care facilities, the staff and the residents of those. He says, but Pritzker's saying, but our anticipation is the moment the numbers are small enough that we don't see going beyond those two populations right now.
Yeah, I think first you got to remember that it requires two doses, and so it's going to be a little bit different from the flu vaccine. So that's going to be a challenge of you know, compliance of someone getting one shot, making sure they get the second one. I think the concept of first responders, essential workers, so that all of our essential needs as a public are dealt with, and then those most vulnerable. I think that makes complete sense.
So have you had any feeling or any sense for where it goes from there? Because that's really all I've heard, is those two groups will get it first. And I don't know what the numbers are in those two groups. I would think that healthcare workers alone could be several hundred thousand folks in our, you know, we've got a lot of great hospitals here and a lot of very talented medical people who are on the front lines here. What do you have any sense of where it goes from there and how many?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we always think about healthcare workers, but we have to define what that is. I think first responders, you're talking about police, fire. I think that we've all discussed that children are probably not going to be in the first couple of layers, because their risk of COVID and negative, you know, severe negative outcomes. We've shown that's a population that is somewhat protected. So which assists. And then I think you start discussing, you know, with regards to way of life, essential needs, and then you address those appropriately. So, you know, young children under the age of 16 are probably going to be later down the road. But I think a really comprehensive program to address those in a sensible and responsible way, I think, is going to be a good approach.
Yeah, it feels like I thought I heard that children weren't part of this COVID trial, which sort of makes sense. And they also seem to be they're not most severely impacted by COVID. Doesn't mean some can get sick and even die, but what we've seen so far, does that mean that they have to go through a full trial before they would think about giving it to children, or how would that work, Dr. Champas? Do you have any sense of that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think first, you know, to go back to the previous point, I think teachers are going to be an essential group, and that's been one limiting factor with regards to being able to get kids back in school, was the concern from teachers and those that facilitate that. With regards to children, it's always hard to do studies in children. It's hard to get approvals. It's hard to get approvals because they're minors. But I think that probably what will happen is as we learn some of the effects of the vaccine, I'm sure you're going to see globally the vaccine potentially being used on children, that we may learn from those and then determine, you know, a risk benefit. On the need of vaccinating kids. I think that's probably the thought process right now.
It's an important point that you raise that it's a two dose. It requires two doses, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, because if you deliver the first dose by the end of this year, it's likely that even healthcare workers won't be fully vaccinated until what? Early next year.
Right, and some studies have shown that the first shot may get you 50 or 60% effective, and then getting the second one gets you up to 90. So it's important for a logistics perspective that if you receive the first vaccine, that you get the second one, and you get the second one from the same distribution and the same company. So I think those are going to be some of the logistics that are going to be ironed out in the next 7 to 10 days, but for the next several months for sure.
Okay, so the second I get my vaccine, does that mean I don't wear a mask anymore, and I can bring 300 of my closest vaccinated friends over and have a warehouse party? Is that what happens next?
Yeah, that was a nice try, Anna. But no. And the reality is, we're going to still be a society where we're going to have to be responsible. We're going to have to wear masks. We're going to learn how long the immunity lasts with the vaccine. And until we know all that stuff, life is going to stay the same.
You know, that's interesting because the CDC director just today was sort of making that point. He said, remember, December, January, February are going to be rough times. I believe they'll be the most difficult in the public health history of the nation, in fact, as so few people will have the vaccine at that point. Life doesn't change. And if this current surge, does continue, or if there's another surge, potentially there'll be a lot of indoor weather and that kind of thing. You know, just kind of looking ahead here to try to be patient, I suppose, was the message he's trying to send.
Yeah, it's an important message, and we tend to put our guard down, especially with the holidays, and everyone's fatigued. Trust me, we all are. I worked in the emergency room on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and it's the most COVID I've seen in the last 9 months. I worked a night shift on Monday night, and again, I think that we're all, as healthcare providers right now, scratching our heads at the amount of COVID we're seeing. And I think that that's going to continue over the next 4 to 6 weeks with the recent holidays and the holidays coming up.
So there's something else, Dr. Chambers, I want to ask you about. The CDC today, I saw this, they cut the quarantine time down to 10 days. It was 14, so their suggestion is 10 days. And then they say 7 days quarantine for anyone who receives a negative test after being exposed. Can you kind of flesh that out a little bit for us?
Yeah, without question. I think the CDC is actually a little bit, no criticism, a little bit late to the game on that. I think a lot of entities across sport, across companies were as tests were becoming more and more available. What we know is that the virus in the by day five, max day seven, is going to express itself. And so that runway of 5 to 7 days is really the time where a virus would be positive and you could be infectious. So that's where the CDC has now created the guidelines based on evidence and based on where the virus is now changing that. So if you had a quarantine of 7 days and a negative test, you're deemed to be okay to be able to reenter kind of the public space.
I'm glad they made that correction, sort of caught up with the data, because I think people will be more likely to comply. Some people might say, oh, 14, forget about it. But maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about that, but it just feels like 14 days is a long time. People were looking at ways to maybe get around that because it seems a pure lockdown for that period of time. Maybe they'll be more likely to go along with it. I don't know.
Yeah, and mentally as well. I mean, when you tell someone 2 weeks you need to stay in your house, I don't think we even understand the indirect effects of that. And so it's important not only from a physical perspective, but from a psychological perspective to give people that understanding that 7 days is definitely more compliant than 14 days.
Let's talk about the indirect effects, because you're on the front lines, truly. You're in an emergency room. You see people not only with COVID, but you see people with lockdown related issues, and you see all of it. I just wonder, how you feel about what it is you're seeing. Are you seeing also the kind of COVID related but non-COVID issues? Are those spiking too?
Yeah, I'm also a parent, and youth sports is another one. I think we haven't struck a balance with regards to, really understanding the indirect effects of what's going on. And I think that, we're seeing levels of anxiety and fatigue and first responders and essential workers that have really been doing this nonstop for 10 months. It's definitely very difficult, but we also have young kids, grandparents, and we need to address those indirect effects, I think, a little bit better. And I think that's going to be our challenge, because people see a vaccine and they think we're done, but we're still 3 to 6 months before we get out of this.
What about schools? I know there's a big debate about that. I mean, this will impact it, I guess, how quickly teachers can get it. We'll have a massive impact and potentially to all kinds of kid-related activities, right?
No, I fully agree. And also give parents a sense of comfort that, you know, their kids are going to school, that, you know, teachers have been protected, that the schools are safe environments. You're still going to have to comply in social distancing, wearing masks, but generally should be hopefully a safer environment. And I think parents are seeking that as well. There's so many parents out there that are trying to work, trying to do e-learning with their kids. And that's a struggle as well, Anna.
Yeah, I believe it. And I also just want to ask you finally here, how are the healthcare workers around you holding up? What's it like to be doing that now this far along as you're seeing so many cases?
Well, a lot of us scratching our heads. A lot of us thought that, you know, 10 months, you know, ago that we would be in a better place. I think the vaccine, everyone is really optimistic about it. It's something that we're all looking forward to. But at the same time, you know, right now the amount of hospitalizations and sick people are really keeping everyone busy. And I think that's a message that everyone should listen to.
I believe it. Dr. George Tempas, thank you for the time today. And always, we appreciate your insights.
Thank you, Anna. Be safe.
You too. Dr. George Tempas, that is. He's emergency medicine specialist at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care.